We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. A few announcements before we get started. And because we go on air, we start on time, which is a little strange for a church. This morning's liturgist is Tammy Young. Our radio sponsor is Tammy Hoort, in memory of her sister Kimberly Berkey's birthday on July 31st. So thank you to both of our Tammies, despite how they spell their names differently. All right. We'll hear our welcome statement, which is not on here. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. First UCC is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and in our community as we welcome and value all people, whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome as you are here at First United Church of Christ, Sauk City. Let's take a few moments of silence. And please stand as Tammy reads our call to worship.
We join together as hungry eaters to be nourished by the food that you offer us.
God of sustenance, give us this day our daily bread.
As you care for the wheat fields that turn into bread and the vineyards that labor to produce sweet wine, tend to our bodies by feeding us what we need for healthy growth. The rich crops that you have prepared are now ready to be harvested by our hands and our hearts.
Holy Spirit, come. Give us this day our daily bread.
Thank you. Let us pray. Let us sing. Our first hymn, 347, Let Talent and Tongues Employ. us pray. We believe. We come believing in our emptiness, believing that we will never have enough, believing that what we have is unworthy. We come fearful. That was it. The hunger in our world, overwhelmed tales of senseless violence, greed, and death. We come aching from the weight of responsibility, aching from the chilling challenge of knowing our abundance, aching from the dying awareness that we have much to share. We come clinging to our meager lunches, bless them, break them and us, share them and us. We are forgiven. We are welcomed. We are one. For this we say, thanks be to God.
In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord, I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near.
Sit. Without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you are hungry or even just curious, please come and eat. Jesus fed people, body and spirit. He gave bread, and he gave bread for eternal life. In the feeding the 5,000 story, he turns to his disciples and points out that people need food. He asks them what they will do. And they protest. They say, we can't possibly help. There isn't enough. We can't do anything. He doesn't rebuke them. He just says, wait and see. Wait and see what we will do together. They needed Jesus to feed them. That's why they showed up that day. In mass. They showed up without bread. They didn't come for a meal. They came for him. And they got more than they expected. They got more love. They got fed. Their bodies and their spirits. So we come today also to this table, longing to be fed, because we need Christ, we need love, we need to feed our spirits, we need to feed our bodies. We need the bread of life, and we cannot make it ourselves. On his last night, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his friends and said, when you eat, remember me. He took a cup of wine and he poured and blessed it and said, when you drink, remember me. Remember this table. Remember all the tables. The people that we fed, that we welcomed, that we loved. God, you graciously fed our ancestors in the wilderness. You provide the bread of heaven to feed your children. You've invited us into relationship with you in this life and the next. For your generosity, we give thanks. Holy Spirit, send out your blessing on this table, on this meal, on all these people here today in our sanctuary and joining us over the radio, over YouTube. May we be fed. May we feed. Amen.
Thank you.
God who feeds us, God of abundance, we thank you for your presence in this feast. Take us from this table, fed, beloved, satisfied, and ready to serve. Amen. I think we don't have any kiddos here this morning, so let's pray for the kiddos. Holy God, bless all the children in our church, in our lives, in our hearts. Help them to grow in wisdom. Help them to grow in faith. Help them to grow in love for you, their neighbors, and themselves. Amen. And now Tammy will read from 2 Kings.
The scripture is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. Elisha feeds 100 men. A man came from Baal Lachish, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord.
From the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, 1 to 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place. So they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Listen to what the Spirit says to the church. This is the only miracle story that all four Gospels record. John's version, though, is my favorite. There are some unique details here in John's version that we heard. John mentions that the Passover is near. Connects the story with freedom, with liberation, the Passover. Connects the story with manna in the wilderness. It shows that not only can Jesus feed the hungry, but it reflects God's care for the poor and for the hungry, for people seeking freedom from oppression. This crowd, they're rural poor. They have limited resources. They know hunger. This economic dimension is underlined by the reference to barley bread. Barley was cheap. It was also not what the wealthy ate in their bread. It's about simplicity and about hunger. In other Gospels, the disciples notice that there's going to be a problem. And they go to Jesus and say, what's the plan? What are we going to do? They urge him to make all these people go away. Tell them to go home. We can't feed them. They're going to get antsy. But in John's version, Jesus starts all this. He knows what he is going to do, and he asks Philip, where are we to buy bread for all these people? How can we feed them? No one goes to Jesus and says, we're hungry. He sees the need. He sees the need before it's spoken, and he responds to that need. And imagine Philip's reaction. Jesus, are you serious right now? You're kidding, right? You see all these people? It would take a lot of money, even to just get a little snack for them. That's beyond the means of a group of Galilean peasants. It's not just a catering problem. Where are we going to get all this bread? It's an economic problem, a social problem. So I imagine Philip looking around at the other disciples for help. Come on, guys, how do you explain to Jesus that what he's asking is impossible? We don't have enough. We can't do it. We'd like to help. Of course we'd like to help, but there's only a little bit of bread and a few of us, and there's so many people who need food. We can't possibly help. We cannot. And Andrew jumps in. I saw one kid brought his lunch. One kid. 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's not going to go very far. We can't do it. But that boy's meal turns out to be sufficient. He says, okay, make the people sit down. John's gospel is also the only one that offers the detail of all the grass in that place. And I love that too. It's probably a much more comfortable place to sit. But also, in this same gospel, in just a couple chapters, Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. And a good shepherd, there's grass. The green is important. So Jesus takes the loaves and the fish, and he blesses them and distributes them. Another thing unique in this gospel, this is the one where Jesus himself distributes the food. In the others, all the disciples go out and they hand out food. Here, Jesus took the loaves, blessed them, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated, as much as they wanted. All four of the Gospels mention that there are 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't know how big the fish are, or the loaves. But only John mentions who brought them. It's a little boy. In the other Gospels, maybe the disciples had them, maybe they just appeared. We don't know. But imagine this story if that little boy hadn't been willing to share. I mean, he, the one of them who remembered to bring food. I sometimes hide the good yogurt in the back of the fridge so Lila doesn't find it. We've probably all done something similar. But it's a big crowd, and it's about lunchtime, and I see nobody else has any food. Are you gonna bring out what you have and share it? Many of us would hope that we would. But he risks not getting anything himself. And he's willing to take that risk. So Jesus feeds the whole crowd. So there are 2 possible models here, right? There's the child who gave everything he had, giving it away, letting good things happen. Here's my loaves, here's my fish. Do with it what you can. And on the other hand, we have the disciples. They see the need, the size of the crowd, the immensity of the problem, and they say, there is nothing we can do. We don't have enough people, we don't have enough money, we don't have enough resources, we don't have enough time, we don't have enough. We cannot help. A lot of people, especially in our culture, believe in scarcity, that the world is a mean and scroungy place, and all the things that I long for, the money and success and love and time, or all those things, it's only available in finite quantities. Like the world is a Black Friday sale, and it's throwing elbows and grabbing and pulling away what you can. We often fall into that trap of comparing what we have to do to the size of the problem and giving up, assuming that it's not enough. But Jesus shows, if you share your bread with your neighbor, the world can be made new. He reminds us, Walter Brueggemann says, that the words of scarcity can only be healed by faith in God's promise of abundance. So do we believe in scarcity or abundance? You might have seen the meme talking about civil rights. They're not pie. More for somebody else doesn't mean less for you. But that's our culture, and it was the culture then too. For Herod, power was a zero-sum game. Somebody else gets a little more, it takes from him. He was afraid all the time, and fear is dangerous. And our culture tells us, acquire, get more, there's not enough food or wealth or property or power, so hold on tight to what you have. Put it aside so it's always there if you need it, even if that means that others might go without. Walter Brueggemann also reminds us But much like this story, in times of disparity, it is often the wealthy who lean into this theology of scarcity more than the poor. But the Bible is about abundance. From the very beginning, God initiates abundance. There's plants and fish and birds. There is so much, and it is good. It's easy to think we don't have enough, and fear keeps us from dreaming, keeps us from imagining. The problem today with feeding people isn't lack of resources, it's distribution. How many times in the Bible, how many times from Jesus do we hear, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid." Over and over, when things matter, he repeats them. Because when there is fear, there is no room for love or compassion. Too often we let fear drive our decision making, and it doesn't have to be that way, but it requires attention, requires intention, trying to see the world a little bit differently, a world of plenty rather than a world of scarcity. Barbara Brown Taylor says, "Where the disciples saw scarcity, Jesus operated under a different set of assumptions. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that wherever there was plenty of God, there would be plenty of everything else." The Gospel of John tells us over and over and over about abundance. First chapter, John 1:16. "From his fullness we have received grace upon grace." Grace upon grace. 5,000 fed, and there are leftovers. It happens other times. Miracle at Cana. 6 jars filled with the very best wine when it wasn't expected. Grace upon grace. Abundance. It's not just turning water to wine. It's there's so much wine, and it's the best wine. He doesn't just feed people. He feeds people until they are full and there are baskets and baskets left over. Grace upon grace. But it doesn't happen unless we participate. The little boy brought his food. Taylor also tells us, "Stop waiting for food to fall from the sky. Share what you have. Stop waiting for a miracle and participate in one instead." Participate in a miracle. Love, feel compassion, notice people who are hungry, people in need. Believe that there is enough. Dream big. Share. Share bread, physical, spiritual. Let's participate in some miracles. Amen. Our hymn is called Invitation. It will be on the screen.
I'm going to use this as a teaching moment. There is a 4-measure introduction before we come in, and then that 4 measures precedes each verse also. So you've heard it already this morning on the bringing in of the light and between the two scriptures. So it's going to fly. So hang on and let's go.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have time to share our prayers with God, with the community. Are there any prayers to share this morning?
She's probably going to slug me for doing this, but she was stuck in an airport or trying to get home last week, and so she didn't hear what I said about what Tammy does for our church. Bless her heart, she mows that park every week and seems to like doing it, and I think she needs to know just how much we appreciate all the work she does to keep it looking nice and our facilities. So, Tammy, thank you.
That was not a Southern bless your heart. That was a real one.
I would like to wish my dad a happy birthday.
With all the election news in on TV and radio every day, people forget about the conflicts that are going on in the world and the people that are still suffering in the war zones. So let's please keep them in our prayers.
There are no more to share aloud. Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers in our hearts. Holy God, We pray for places in conflict around the world. We pray for peace. We pray that all may be fed. We'll continue to pray for Heather's niece. Pray for Tammy Horth, who lost her beloved dog. Chloe. We give thanks that Tammy is back and mowing our lawn. And we give thanks for 82nd birthday. 82nd birthday. That's a big deal. For all these prayers and the prayers that we hold in our hearts, Holy God, hear us today. Amen. And I have a bit of good news again today, which will be here. Well, all right, let's go ahead. Jack, this morning, is going to be singing the Lord's Prayer. And you brought an accompanist today, too. You introduce.
I can't introduce her. She said that she won't leave on
the end. I do.
Can I introduce her?
Yes.
Thank you for coming. And God invites us to share from our many blessings, to see abundance, to build this community. Let us pray. Merciful God, the gifts we bring are so small in comparison to the vast needs in our world. Yet we have brought what we can. As you once multiplied the 5 small loaves and 2 fish, multiply these gifts as well, so that the hungry may receive all that they need and more. Amen. You may sit. And Jim, you asked about, we've got a few minutes if you want to say something about Biloxi.
So a month ago we got back for Boys in Mississippi, a group of 5, me, my wife, my 2 grandchildren, and my daughter, we went down, had beautiful weather. We helped the elderly couple down there that we painted a house, and we ended up ripping about a 10x10 portion of the floor out and putting a new sill beam underneath the one wall. So it was exciting. We worked with a group from Ohio. They had 14 people. We had 5. We were stuck in a house, one house, because it was actually supposed to rain. And so the first couple days, you know, I really learned the lesson is try to keep my, you know, temper down, you know. Sometimes that's hard, but you know, it's hot, humid, and you're stuck in a 10x10 living room and an 8x8 foyer room, and basically 17 people in a house. Well, you can kind of imagine it was a little crowded. Well, it ended up my family, except for my couple grandkids, they helped with the painting, but I went out and did the trailer. Well, a little bit of tension the first day, you know, and the second day it kind of came to a head, and then all of a sudden, like the flower blossom, then all of a sudden it was just like, from then on, then we were inseparable. Just in a moment's time that when things weren't going right, laying the floor down, and it actually took Todd, our overseer, an hour and a half just to get 2 rows started. Then they kind of seen, where we were struggling and then they were struggling, and then one guy, the main guy, he struggled for 2 hours. So we all came as one, and then all of a sudden after that, every day we did things together, we ate together. It was just how two groups can be like a magnet, and then all of a sudden a magnet with opposite polars be pulled apart, and all of a sudden, just in a half an hour, it was totally opposite. So to me, that was kind of cool. We finished out the week strong. We just had the one project to do. We ended up making the elderly lady and elderly gentleman happy. Mission Impossible bought all new outlets and stuff for the plates and stuff for the house because it was just painted. Then we ended up buying, as a whole group with Ohio and us, we ended up buying her them a new microwave for their kitchen. So it was a very good positive note down there for us and representing the church. So thank you for your time this morning. There is pictures out there. Sorry, I'm not a big picture taker, but it was really an awesome experience again. So thank you.
Please rise for our closing hymn. It's number 236, Hallelujah. The words are pretty easy. Holy God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together today, to pray, to eat, to listen, to be your community. Help us take a theology of abundance out with us today. Wherever we go through the week, help us to see that there is enough. There will be enough. There can be enough. You are enough. We are enough. In your many names we pray. Amen. All right, and please be seated as we listen to special music from Jack, and then come out and join us for some treats.
Said to me, afraid, for I will see you through. He didn't ask for.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg.